ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in, everyone. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. Scott, you ready for all of this today?
I am always ready for the show. I look forward to this hour more than any other each week, Frank. You know that.
It's a lot of fun. We had some fun a few days back. You got to play in Phil Oaks Celebrity Golf Tournament. I got to play in the First Tee Invitational and have an opportunity to be on stage with Peter Jacobson. And we both learned a lot of things. We both spent some time with some idols, and we're going to talk a little bit about our experiences and both those charities, and maybe a whole lot more on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We will do a little business and come back with that right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome in. This is another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sacktown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Hello, Scott Marsh. How are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
You know, Scott, I've played some golf this past week or two, and I've been having some fun, and I know you did as well. You know, the what do they call this? The shoulder season, I guess. It's not summer and it's not winter, and I don't even know if it's even fall here in Northern California. We've had such beautiful weather, but, you know, I've been able to get out a bit and play in a couple of tournaments, and I know you did as well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. Obviously, I was involved in a very spectacular tournament this past week, which was a lot of fun, such a great cause.
You know, it's interesting talking to folks, and there were, probably half a dozen, 10 came up to me over the weekend at the First Tee Invitational to talk about Golf to Go and how much they appreciate what we do on the show, and they enjoy the minutes. And, you know, I'm always very open with people. I'll say something to the effect that, you know, well, what can we do to improve it? Or, you know, and that's a tough question for some people because they're really not prepared for that answer. But across the board, what I found is that people seem to enjoy the information and enjoy listening to us.
Oh, I hope that's the case. I think it is too. I get the same response whenever I mention that to somebody.
So you had sort of a boyhood thrill running into some of your Los Angeles Dodger heroes at the Phil Oates Celebrity Golf Tournament. You were able to go to the pairings party and had an opportunity to play in the tournament the next day. It was the same night as the First Tee Invitational with Peter Jacobson that I'll be talking about. So, you know, I couldn't be in two places at the same time, and neither could you. So we kind of split up duties there. And tell me what it was like being at Phil's tournament, and what it was like running into a guy named Garvey.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. And first of all, yeah, it was unfortunate that both tournaments were on the same day, because they're two of the best tournaments of the year in our area. And I would have loved to have been at both, as I know you would have also. You know, but in the case of Phil Oates, when he calls it a celebrity golf classic, you know, sometimes people use the term celebrity, and then they have people like myself coming out to them and using the word celebrity. This was a true celebrity golf classic. I mean, there were legends of the game. Steve Garvey happened to be one of them. And of course, I'm a huge Dodgers fan and grew up. Steve Garvey was kind of a boyhood idol. So getting to meet him and talk to him and just stand out on the driving range with them for a few minutes and just, you know, share thoughts and everything else, it was truly awesome. And then, you know, the list just went on and on. Marcus Allen was out there. Ronnie Lott was out there. Alex English, Cedric the Entertainer, hosted the pairings party. And that's just even a start of a star-studded list that just truly made it a celebrity golf classic. As we know, Phil Oates, when he does something, he does it right. You know, he's the CEO of Buzz Oates Holdings. He's the chairman and, you know, part owner of the Sacramento Kings. And we were lucky to interview him a few weeks back.
Yeah, that was fun. And this is obviously a very, very successful tournament. And, I think he raised, if I read correctly, about $400,000, which is very, very impressive. And he's raised well over $1 million in the 3 years he's done the tournament. And, you know, to be that successful this early in the process, you know, he's going to be around for a long time doing this. I'm sure it'll get to the point where people will ask him if they can play in it.
Well, it's to the point where you can't even get in this tournament anymore, right? Because there's just a wait list to get in it. And, you know, so many charities benefit from this, and just seeing all the checks presented at the end of the tournament, and just, you know, it's everything that's good about what golf tournaments should be. Great time, great camaraderie, great friendship, and a great cause.
So tell me, has Garvey got a golf game? You're watching him on the driving range?
He can hit it. He's still got the Popeye arms too. So, you know, so he's still got it. Obviously his attention a little bit diverted. He's running for senator here in the state of California. So I don't know if he's playing as much as he might be otherwise, but it was great to have him here.
You ran into another Los Angeles professional in Norm Nixon.
That's true. I didn't even mention Norm Nixon, but that was a thrill for me because, and I know you love this show too, Winning Time, which has been on HBO the past couple of years, all about the great Lakers and the rivalry with the Celtics. Norm Nixon, it was his son who plays Norm in the show. And to see Norm there, I was talking to him about his son and just how great it's been and all of that. And of course, growing up a huge Lakers fan too. And he was part of those early championship teams. Just a lot of fun.
And where was the tournament played?
It was at Northridge Country Club.
And I'm guessing it was in sterling shape.
Spectacular shape. I love that course. You know, for my mind, that's, you know, one of the top three courses in our area. I just love the elevation to it. It's always in great shape. The greens are a challenge. It's a great mix of challenging holes. And I love the fact that it's five par fives and five par threes. I think that's cool, kind of within an 18 hole course.
Yeah, there's no doubt that that in terms of topography, it's what appears to be a real flat area to have the elevation changes that it does from tees to greens and back the other way as well. It's not only a beautiful course, but it's a challenging course. You got to pay attention, or it'll bite you here and there.
No question. It plays long. And, you know, based on where they want to set up those pins, I mean, you feel like you might be playing a U.S. Open with some of the pin placements in the greens.
And I'm guessing the food and all that was great. I love the clubhouse and the veranda overlooking the golf course. And it had to be just a spectacular setting for the entire tournament.
Spectacular setting. And for the pairings party, they used one of Buzz Oates kind of warehouses that they decorated out for the pairings party. It was spectacular. McCooney catered the event, which is always a great thing. Yeah. Just, you know, when you're dealing with Phil Oates, you're dealing with nothing but class, top of the line, and this was the best of the best.
Well, and I appreciate the invitation he had given me to come to the pairings party as well. And as I mentioned up front, two parties in the same night. It was, you know, both at the same time, and neither one of us are that good to be in both places at the same time.
No, but you had quite a night too. And obviously the first tee tournament, I mean, a terrific 2-day event, the dinner on Sunday night with Peter Jacobson, and everybody gets to be real up close and personal with them. And then the tournament on Monday at Ikata Vedera. I mean, that's a spectacular event too.
It really was. And you know, the dinner again was at Del Paso Country Club, and Peter showed up, probably, you know, an hour and a half prior to the start of the event. So he and I could talk a little bit about what we were going to do that evening on stage. And what we realized is that, you know, I've been fortunate to know him for, you know, half a dozen years closely now. So we just kind of figured we'd just, you know, get up on stage and start talking and see what happened. But on the heels of Lee Trevino a couple of years ago and Gary Player last year, you know, I think Peter thought, well, I've got to really be good to, you know, to be in their category. I got to tell you, you know, those two greats of the game can probably, and many, many players can take a lesson from Peter Jacobson. You know, he's probably the closest thing we have to Arnold Palmer since Arnold Palmer has passed. And many of the lessons that Peter learned about you know, about eye contact with people and about making them feel special and important. He learned from Arnold. So it was really fun being part of that. We had a line of folks that were going to have their photo taken with Peter. And it wasn't just, you know, click and move on. It was, oh yeah, what do you do? And, you know, and what's your name? And are you going to school? And so on and so forth. And to the point, to the point that we said, you know, hey, Peter, the line is backing up. Keep it moving. But I mean, he took the name of a young lady that was going off to a college, and he happened to know the golf coach there, and he was going to write a letter to her. And, you know, he made arrangements to do an interview for a school newspaper, you know, with another young man that was there. It's just, he really was remarkable. And when we got on stage, the amount of applause that Peter got for, you know, most answers to my questions was really remarkable. I mean, he was funny. Oh my gosh, he was so humorous. The photos of the event, you know, I looked like I had my mouth open the entire evening just because laughing so hard. And he and I shared some laughs, but he really, really, really was good. And I think all of the people that were there at that event and helped support First Tee were, you know, really treated to a first class event.
Oh, no question. Year in, year out, that First Tee event is so well done. As you mentioned, Lee Trevino, Gary Player, Peter Jacobson, that is the top of the top. And, you know, Peter was a great golfer, and he's just such a great broadcaster too. It's so fun to watch him on NBC. And the thing I like about him so much, and I know you were able to share this with everybody, is just how much fun he has with the game, and the fact he plays music, and he's one of those guys who just doesn't seemingly take it too seriously, but was definitely serious about the game at the same time.
No question. And Peter will describe himself as, you know, as a not very good player. He says he wasn't elite. But you know, he found a way to make his game work for himself. He was serious when he was playing. He grew up in Oregon, went to school up there. They're apparently naming a golf course up there after he and his wife, who also played golf, I found out on this trip, Jan. You know, at one point in his life when he wasn't at a tournament or something, maybe, you know, it was the shoulder season, Don Olmeyer said to him, "Hey, how would you like to help me out with the skins game?" And that was the first one they did. And he didn't know what a skins game was. And he said, "Yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot." And talked about that moment as, you know, kind of one of those crossroads things where you know, if I take this road, do I do this? And what happens here? And that's what basically led to his television career. And he did two of his own programs on the Golf Channel. And, you know, he's an NBC guy. He's a Golf Channel guy. He hosts many, many tournaments himself. And he's just, again, a really good guy.
He is. And, you know, like the bridge maybe between these two tournaments, you know, Peter Jacobson does the Celebrity Classic up at Edgewood every year. And, like, he would have had a lot of fun with Phil Oates' golf tournament, too, because he probably has given golf lessons to a lot of the celebrities who were at Phil's tournament who also play up in Tahoe. Marshall Faulk was another guy who was out at Phil's tournament who plays up regularly in Edgewood. Marcus Allen does all the time. So, you know, Peter has that knack where celebrities want to come up to him and get advice and learn how to play the game better. And that's kind of what makes this whole thing fun. Regardless of where you're at or where you come from, everybody is looking for a tip. Everybody has a story. Golf's kind of the common link.
Yeah, the next day, the golf tournament was at Catavadera, and Peter and I were on stage again for probably another 40 minutes to the tournament crowd. So we tried to change it up a little bit with some of the questions and everything. And he told some incredibly funny stories, both about Lee and about Mr. Player with a little bit of an accent, and you know, probably stories that I better not share here. But they were really a lot of fun. And then rather than sit on a hole and wait for the people to come through, Peter got in a cart and he went out and greeted everybody. And to my point earlier about him, you know, spending time with folks, I guess Angie Dixon from the First Tee told me that after 2 hours, they had gotten through 8 groups. So they decided Peter needed to hurry up a little bit. And again, you know, at the end, I was doing a little bit of promoting golferships, to basically scholarships for kids going through first tee. And I just kind of asked Peter to come up and help me a little bit. And wouldn't you know it, he reached in his pocket pretty deeply and supported the first tee here as well. So, you know, not only was it a great time for everybody, but as I, said there on stage, when you're doing well, that's the time when you can do good. And he certainly stepped up and did his part. And both crowds at the dinner and at the golf tournament the next day both did their part as well.
Yeah, no question. The money raised for First Tee is such a great cause. And we know it kind of started here in Sacramento. So it's really near and dear to everybody in this area in particular because of that. And for Peter to come out here. And I know one of the things I missed maybe the most about not being out there is there's always such a great clinic put on. I remember when Lee Trevino put on a hitting clinic out there. I still think about that. And of course, watching Gary Player hit one to within about 3 feet. And in fact, he had a hole in one when he played last year out there. We didn't get a chance there. I didn't get a chance to see that. And I'm sure Peter's clinic was just as good as those two. So
it was, and he did a few imitations that he's famous for. And that was, that's always exciting for the crowd as well. I had a chance to play with Jeff Wilson, CEO of Wilson Golf Management, who manages Cadavadera. And he and I were in the same cart and spent a lot of time together talking about a lot of things, including our golf games. And I thought, we should have Jeff on the show to let everybody know about that. So he'll be coming up in the next segment to talk about AI coming to the world of golf and what that means. And Jeff's a really great guy, and I appreciate him taking the time. And so we have so much more to get to here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and Scott, we'll get to that right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh. And Scott, you had an incredible weekend, which we talked about a little while ago, about playing at the Phil Oates tournament. I played in the first tee Invitational and was lucky enough to be paired with Jeff Wilson. Jeff has been a friend for a number of years. Jeff is the CEO of Wilson Golf Management, who also manages the Cadavadera Country Club golf course where we played. And Jeff and I just had a lot of time in the cart to talk about a lot of things and thought we should talk about this on the air. So welcome in, Jeff. How are you?
All right. I'm doing great, Frank. Thank you very much. I got to say, had a great day on the golf course with you on Monday. And boy, what a treat to hang out with the first tee people and Peter Jacobson. What a, just a fantastic day.
Interesting story about Peter. And he was so, gracious with everybody. But, you related the fact that when he shook your hand for the first time that evening, he says, "I know you." And, and then he certainly remembered your name for the rest of the weekend with all of the people that he'd met. It's just remarkable, how his brain works. He really made that tournament. And I think he was, in some cases, maybe thought, how do I follow Lee Trevino and Gary Player? Well, he not only followed, he probably led a little bit as well, huh?
He's such a class act. I had met him personally before at Pebble Beach, a great place to hang out. And I introduced myself to him and asked him if he would consider coming to Sacramento to do what he did on Monday, to be our host. And it was amazing. I hadn't seen him in 4 or 5 years, and he walked up and shook his hand, and he said, I know you. And I introduced myself, and we just, just like we were old friends. It was just, what a great guy. And then when you were interviewing him that night, he was talking and telling a story that was related to golf professionals, and he reached out into the audience and called me by name. And even my wife looked at me and goes, "How does he do that? How does, he's so personable, and it was such a great experience to hang out with him."
You know, and I suppose, you know, that, I mean, some people do it better than others, but that's really kind of the basis of the game in my mind, is the relationships and the time you spend with people and remembering who you were with. And that's kind of the way I would sort of describe golf. And we were talking about a seminar you attended recently, and the word or the acronym AI popped up, and there was a lot of discussion about AI. And on the face of it, you would think golf and AI, they just don't go hand in hand. But AI is, certainly I'm talking about artificial intelligence, is coming to our world. And, you know, some people think it's going to be great and others think the world is going to end. But tell me a little bit about how the seminar related AI to the world of golf and what we might look forward to.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. The National Golf Course Owners Association held a convention in Las Vegas. It was called TechCom 23. So it was basically about technology in the golf industry. And it was very, very interesting. The opening keynote speakers on the first day was Gideon Yu. Vice president or president of football operations for the 49ers currently, but he was one of the founders at YouTube. And so he started talking about AI, and for kind of a regular guy like I am, you know, that the tech world, it's, you know, I'm getting old, I don't pay that much attention to it, but, you know, he really opened my eyes to the changes that we're going to see in AI. And he talked about, you know, working with Elon Musk and, you know, all kinds of stuff. It was very interesting to hear all the stuff that was happening in his world. But the really eye-opening guy was, his name was Paul Roetzer, R-O-E-T-Z-E-R. And he kind of opened his talk, and it was all about AI, and he talked about the changes in ChatGPT-4, and again, it was just all about AI. So I highly recommend, you can go online to YouTube and type in his name, and all kinds of lectures come up, and he really is on the cutting edge of what AI means to us in the world today, not related to the golf business. We kind of then started talking about the different things that, you know, kind of speculating, you know, what is AI, what impacts is AI going to have on the golf industry? And nobody really could put their finger on it. But one of the things that we found that was very, very interesting was a company called Notefy. So Notefy, Notefy. We're launching it at five of our six golf courses here this week. And what Notefy is it's a product that when you go to book a tee time, and as everybody knows, there's compaction, right? If you're not on the phone at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday to get next Saturday's tee time, you're probably out of luck. You're not going to get the tee time that you're looking for. Well, this product, basically, it's free, free to consumers. You go on our website there's a click. You click on it and you sign up for it and you say, I am looking to play on Saturday, the 22nd. I'd like to play between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and I'm going to have four players. And you put your information in, and you're done. And on our site, which is kind of cool, because if you wanted to play Turkey Creek, as an example, you could put that information in. But since we have multiple properties, you can click on, okay, if that tee time comes up at Empire Ranch or Teal Bend, let me know. Well, so I did. I did it yesterday for the first time, just kind of as a test, and it was amazing that I got notified that somebody canceled the tee time that was within my parameters, and I went and clicked on on the tee sheet, and boom, there was the tee time. It was 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Boom, I'm playing golf on Saturday. When I thought that I wasn't going to be playing, or I was going to play late in the afternoon. So it's a very cool product. We're really excited about, you know, the possibility of not having vacant tee times, you know, go to waste, and getting people, you know, into those slots. So it's very cool.
You know, to obviously to have a notification that a tee time popped up, that's because what you get sometimes at a golf course, if you're calling, is, well, let's, you know, check back in a few more hours. Well, the problem with that, obviously, is someone could have taken the tee time in between. But this really seems foolproof.
It really is very cool. And like I said, with ours, you know, you have the option of, you know, with, you know, a couple of clicks, making the option of, you know, hey, I wouldn't mind playing Teal Bend, or I wouldn't mind playing Empire Ranch, or gosh, you know, if I was able to get a 9 o'clock tee time, I'd go up to Coyote Moon and play. It's only an hour and a half drive. So, it's remarkable technology. The good news is that it's there. The tough one is you have to click really quickly, because I did a whole bunch of searches, and an Empire Ranch tee time popped up. I clicked on it and it was already gone. So somebody else who signed up for Notify had already gotten the notification and clicked in and got the tee time before I could. So it's, you know, I think it's one of the cool things that technology is bringing to us. You know, the ability to not have to sit and keep hoping and wishing, and it just automatically notifies you. It's brand new. It's brand new technology. They just launched the company. I think you're going to see a lot of golf courses adapting and signing up for that technology. And we're all about trying to make it easy for the consumer. And you know, I mean, one of the ways that we keep pricing down is to stay full. And if this helps us, you know, stay full, it's great. Now, it only works if people cancel their tee times. You know, if they no show us, you know, it doesn't do any good. But there's ways for us to track the people that are no showing as well. So it's great. You know, and another thing that we're doing that's kind of subtle, it's been around for a long time. You know, you have the GPS systems on the golf carts, right, where you can see the yardage. Well, how many people do you know that don't have a yardage, a yardage finder in their golf bag and use it when they play? So we've opted to utilize technology that basically we can see where every single golf cart is on the golf course in the golf shop. So it really helps us trying to monitor the pace of play, because quite honestly, pace of play is one of our biggest issues. So that technology is great for us, because as you walk into any of our golf shops, you see a big screen behind the counter and it has the layout of the golf course, and you can see where every cart is, and it's notifying us if a group falls behind pace. And so we're not giving you the yardage and all that stuff, you know, on the cart, but we are keeping track to help keep the pace of play up and make your round more enjoyable.
I think that's remarkable technology, because obviously in the olden days, which was last year, you know, a marshal would have to drive around and find out from a group that, you know, there's a group two in front of us that's slow, and to be able to see that right there in the golf shop and to be able to correct it. And, you know, and when we talk about pace of play and correcting it, it sounds like, you know, someone's coming out with a ruler to wrap on knuckles. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, that particular hole, three of the group lost a golf ball and they were looking, but it's just a matter of kind of reminding people that there are others there. And if they were in back, they would appreciate it if people moved along as well. Jeff, give me a couple of tips about making pace of play easier. I know one of my favorites is, you know, when somebody hits a shot, rather than fumble around putting the club back in the bag, just jump back in the cart and we get to the next shot. You know, you put one in and take one out in the same motion. What other things can we do?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, just to reiterate, pace of play is one of our largest issues. You know, it's trying to get people around the golf course. I think a reasonable time to play is 4.5 hours. I think on Saturdays and Sundays, you're probably looking at a 5-hour round. If we keep our rounds under 5 hours, you know, in peak time on Saturdays and Sundays, we're good. But I think the key to pace of play is that everybody takes responsibility for it and plays ready golf. You know, sometimes people are standing around waiting for a guy to, you know, hit his shot and go through his routine when, you know, you could have already hit your shot or, you know, so it's be prepared to hit your shot, play ready golf. Whoever's ready, go up to the tee and hit. You know, the old school honors deal, you know, it's great, but, you know, play ready golf and, you know, stay focused on staying with the group in front of you. And if you fall behind, you should be talking about it within your group, you know, hey, we need to catch up. Because what people don't realize that sometimes they're selfish, they don't realize that because they're 2 holes behind, that means everybody on the golf course is slow behind them. And I think, you know, just the awareness and be kind to the marshals because they're out there just to help, right? And you know, sometimes they get abused from people and it's hard. So play ready golf.
Play ready golf. Speaking of ready golf, we want to talk about some golf on some of your golf courses, but we're going to have to take a little break and pay for all of this. So we will be right back on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour at Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marshall here. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Jeff Wilson, the CEO of Wilson Golf Management. And we've been talking about AI and some improvements along the ability to get a tee time and also how you can play a little faster round. We've been talking about that. Jeff, you know, we got so wrapped up in that, we didn't get a chance to talk about your golf courses. You mentioned 6 golf courses that Wilson Golf Management manages. So why don't you run through the list and just give us the names and then we'll come back and talk about them.
Yeah. As you know, we played on Monday at Cadavadera Country Club. We have Coyote Moon up in Truckee, which is a spectacular golf course. Unfortunately, we just closed on Sunday to prepare for the winter. So it's gotten pretty cold and a lot of frost up there. We come down to Turkey Creek here in Lincoln, a fantastic golf course, a beautiful, you know, granite outcroppings and a lot of fun to play. Out by the Sacramento Airport on the Garden Highway, we have Teal Bend, it's been there since 1987, and what a great golf course it's matured into. Then we have Empire Ranch in the city of Folsom, which is just a great, you know, that place has location, location, location. Super busy. Driving range is packed all the time. We have all kinds of great instruction programs going on there. We have Will Robbins, his junior programs there. And then we go up above Placerville to Apple Mountain, which is in the Apple Hill area. And that's as Tahoe Golf as Tahoe Golf gets. It's just beautiful, spectacular views, just gorgeous surroundings. So pretty nice portfolio.
That is a great portfolio. And rather than be unfair and put Scott on the spot here, I won't ask him what his favorite is. I'll say, Scott, if we're going to play this weekend, give me the 2 courses you would want to play.
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because they would all be great. So, but Coyote Moon obviously is a treasure when you get a chance to go up there. Turkey Creek is beautiful, but it is deceptively a very difficult course. So you better bring your A game when you're up there. Apple Mount is gorgeous. The greens are treacherous, but so much fun. Empire is just a great track. I love Teal Bend. So, and I know I'm forgetting the 6th here, so my apologies, but you can't go wrong with that list. I mean, Jeff, if that was a mutual fund index, that would be skyrocketing.
Well, you know, you answered that like a politician. That was really great.
I did. I'm running for office, so I've got to be very diplomatic. But if I had to choose one of those courses, I think I'd go out the Teal Bend, because I'm the type who really likes the warm up in advance. And I really love the all grass driving range out there. And I love the fact that you can chip out of the bunker. You can work on your short game before you go out and play.
There you have it. You need to hire Scott, I think, Jeff. That was pretty good.
That's great.
You know, I was mentioning the other day when we were playing how impressed I was with the conditioning at Catavadera. The greens were spectacular. The fairways were lush and full. And that golf course is in such spectacular shape. And actually, you have a waiting list for membership right now as well.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming. You know, Catavadera has been building, you know, for many, many years. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary of being of converting from 12 Bridges to Catavadera and the new clubhouse. You know, having a full membership, it just makes life a lot easier. And then also having a waiting list to get in. You know, there's nothing better than telling people that they can't have what they want. And, we're really excited about, you know, our ability to change and adapt to having a full membership. And we're spending a tremendous amount of money on improving the facilities. I mean, if you look at all the things we've done, we've rebuilt the restrooms on the golf course to, we're putting more money into the agronomic practices of the course, the greens. You know, we're just 3 weeks out from aerification, and, you know, the greens were rolling at a pretty solid 10 and a half, 11, just smooth as silk. And fairways, you know, having the Bermuda fairways has just been awesome. And Catavadera is the place to come play for sure.
You know, I would echo what Scott said about Coyote Moon. I had the chance a couple of weeks ago to play. We went up Gray Eagle area and came back and played Coyote Moon on the way back to Sacramento. And I was embarrassed to admit to Ed McCargill, your general manager, that I probably had not been up there since media day, you know, when the place opened. And shame on me. I was just blown away at certainly the vistas, the huge granite outcroppings, par three hole with the 200-foot drop elevation. I mean, it's just one hole after another. It's just spectacular. So I would encourage anybody that has not had the chance next year when it opens, probably May-ish. Would that be about it, Jeff?
You know, we hope to get open, in the May 15th category. But this year, unfortunately, we didn't get open until June the 10th. So it was a very short season for us. But, you know, like you said, the vistas, just the whole ambience of the golf course is phenomenal. The 13th hole, I was talking to a dear friend of mine, last night, and, I played with him 3 years ago there, and he is 78 years old, and on that hole, hit a shot, bounced, went right in the hole. We were talking about it last night. It was one of the greatest moments of his life. And I was so happy that I was there with him to do it. So whenever I tee it up and I'm standing on the tee of 13, I just have that fond memory of seeing how happy he was. And it's so cool because you're so high, you got to see the ball go in the hole, which is just awesome. So it's a great hole, great facility. You got to get up there and play.
You know, Scott mentioned Teal Bend and the grass driving range. I've always found Teal Bend to be a really playable golf course. I mean, it's very enjoyable. You're out, no housing out there. It's just you and nature and an occasional airplane taking off, which is kind of fun. But it's always been one of my favorites just because of the ambiance and it, even in the winter. I mean, that course is a great place to play because it drains so well.
Yeah, you know, it's built out there on kind of the loamy, sandy base, and so it drains really well in the wintertime. And you know, Teal Bend is a phenomenal course. And you know, somebody who doesn't get a lot of credit is Brad Bell. And you know, I give a shout out to Brad because you know, that was basically his first golf course that he designed. But when you think about the courses that he's designed in Teal Bend, Turkey Creek, Coyote Moon, you know, Empire Ranch, the routing plan was already done, but you know, it was, you know, his hands on that golf course. A little redesign at Apple Mountain, some redesign. I worked with him on a few holes here at Cotavadera. And, you know, Brad is such a wonderful guy and such a pleasure to talk with. I don't know if you've had him on the show, but he's just a great guy. And he did some phenomenal, phenomenal work.
I can tell you he's still a great golfer because at the Phil Oates Celebrity Golf Classic, his group shot a 48. Out at Northridge Country Club to win the tournament. So
48.
Yeah, there was. I'm sure there was no shenanigans going on whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, we had a great time and we played great on Monday. We shot 59 and to be honest, I was pretty proud of that score. You know, we were a couple of shots off the pace, but you know, we're, you know, three old guys and one young buck and did pretty well.
Jeff, your game was really phenomenal. I mean, you know, once you settled in after about the third hole, you were just solid. Everything was right down the middle and a nice slight draw. And yeah, I'm very impressed. So if you're deciding to do any competition, go for it. I think you have a good shot.
Well, you know, I've been working really hard. You know, I've sat behind the desk for a very long time and ate too much good food and drank too much good wine. And I gained a lot of weight over the years and I've just recently lost 50 pounds and I'm working really, really hard on my golf game. My dear friend that we talked about, Franklin Richards, has been coaching me and it's just been an amazing journey on getting back to playing good golf again. And I think I had one horrendous shot because I was trying to try what Peter Jacobson was, you know, coaching us on the driving range with short wedges. And I happened to do what he said, but it didn't work.
Yeah. But everything after that was perfect.
Yeah, it was good.
Scott mentioned Apple Mountain and you described it as, you know, as Tahoe golf without the lake there, but that's a remarkable golf course. It's not very long, but boy, you get your money's worth there. You recognize after you played there that you've been out on a golf course.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely target golf. You definitely, depending on how far you hit your driver or how straight you hit your driver, probably want to leave it in your bag most of the time and just really play position golf. So it's great for golf course management because that's the kind of golf course that you really need to manage yourself around the course and uneven lies and you get it all out there. And as a matter of fact, this next week we're doing what is called Trail of Terror for Halloween. So it's basically playing the golf course from the tips. Having the pins in ridiculous positions that you would never put them in. You know, typically, you know, we try and put the pins in flat spots most of the time, but this week we're going to be putting them on the sides of hills and it's going to be challenging to try and get the ball in the hole. So
Scott, sounds like your kind of day.
Yeah. It sounds very frightening indeed, Jeff. And I'm hoping that your AI or that we're working with the company, they've developed my bot by that point. He can swing for me because I don't think I want to individually there.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know, congratulations with everything you've done with Wilson Golf Management and your stable of courses there. I mean, every one of them's a winner and, again, I appreciate Being with you the other day, and as you said, three old guys and a young buck getting around the course, and I would agree. I thought we played pretty well too. We had a tough time getting some of those long putts to drop, but we didn't embarrass ourselves. How's that?
I think you're right, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
Wilson Golf Management CEO, that's Jeff Wilson. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Look forward to seeing you again back out on a golf course. That wraps up another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. Thanks to our guests. Be back with us next week. And in the meantime, keep it in the fairway. It's a game. Have some fun.